Kind of reminds me, though, the story of the preacher showed up at church one Sunday. It was snowy, and it was really bad. It was just him and the old deacon, the only ones there. So they opened up the doors, and they had their service. They sang their hymns, and they took an offering, and they, you know, the preacher got up and preached and gave an invitation and the whole thing, you know. After service was over, the preacher went back, stood by the door, and shook hands with the old deacon as he was walking out. He said, "Well, what'd you think?" The old deacon looked at him and said, "Well, preacher," he said, "the only thing about it," he said, "if I go feed my cows and only a couple of them show up, I don't dump the whole load on them." But I've got a feeling I may just dump the whole load on you tonight. So let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 16. John 16. And let's think about the person of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit. And obviously, we're not going to cover, a full picture of the Holy Spirit and of His ministry, of His work. But we can sure scratch the surface tonight and think about who He is. And I think it's especially important right now because of the theology of Hollywood that is really impacting our country. We went and watched the new Star Wars movie yesterday. And a part of that is based on a very Eastern religion kind of thing, which is called the Force. And the Force is this it's this force. I don't know how you'd even describe it. It's supposedly it's in every living thing, and it's, you know, and it's there, and there's a good side and a bad side, the light and the dark side, and very similar to what you get with some of the Eastern religion stuff, and that's where it really comes from. But they use the Force. Some of the bad guys use the dark side of the Force to help them to fight and to do all these things and to try to defeat the enemies, and then the good guys use the good side of the Force. And I think there's a danger, because as Christians we can't afford to be fuzzy in our thinking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Force or a force. It's not the Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. You know, He's actually God Himself. And yet, there are some ways in which we see some similarities, you know, with what the movie makers are presenting. So let's look at this passage in John 16, pick out a couple things here tonight. John 16, verse 1. And if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, would You bless us tonight by speaking to our hearts and just helping us to learn more of You, to know You better. And Father, we just thank You so much for each one who's here. Bless those tonight who couldn't come. And we thank You now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's think about this for a moment. The Spirit is identified here. What names do we see in this passage for the Holy Spirit? All right, verse 7. All right, Counselor or Comforter. King James has Comforter. Okay, any others? Really one other that I see, the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. And so, you know, there's some things that are strikingly different from the Eastern religion concept of this impersonal force that's out there. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is a member of the Godhead. He is a member of the Trinity. And so when we refer to the Holy Spirit, we don't refer to Him as it, but we refer to Him with the personal pronoun, He. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is not passive. You know, the force is like this passive thing that is present, but you have to tap into it. You have to kind of use it. The Holy Spirit is active. He is at work in our lives and in the lives of the world. And so I think that's very important. Another thing we can know about the Spirit is not imaginary, but real. He is real and He is relevant to who we are. And in fact, you know, I think when we come to the Holy Spirit, we've come to the place of really beginning to understand the Christian life. You know, we are absolutely powerless to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. You're never going to do it. You're never going to get it right. Well, the Holy Spirit plays some significant roles. We'll think about some of those in a moment. But another statement here, the Spirit is not less than God, but He is fully God. Just as Jesus was not less than God, He was fully God come in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, there are some folks who teach something called modalism. And modalism teaches, Grant, that that God is revealed in different modes at different times. And so first you see the Father. In the Old Testament, you see the Father. And then in the Gospels, you see Jesus, the Son. And then when Jesus is taken out, then you see the Holy Spirit. And what they would teach is that there are not three members of the Trinity. There is not a Trinity. They teach the unity of God, that there is only one person, but He appears in three different modes or three different forms at different times. And United Pentecostals is one of the churches that teach that. And that's getting into a dangerous area when you begin to blur the lines of what the orthodox understanding of God is and of the Trinity. Well, so the Spirit is fully God, and yet, think about it for a moment. Today, the Holy Spirit works a little bit differently than He did in the time of David, or in the time of, you know, Elisha or Elijah, one of the prophets. You know, there are some distinct differences. What are some of the differences? How did God work back in the days of David and those folks? Okay. He spoke. What about Samson? He's one I think of. You know, it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Yes. The Spirit was not present at all times with those people. The Spirit would come, but then you remember, Samson disregarded the things of God, was not doing what he should have done as a man of God, and allowed a very evil woman to capture the secret of his strength, that his hair had never been cut. He had been dedicated to the Lord as a Nazarite from the womb. And Delilah cut his hair and then called for the Philistines to come. And he said, I'll get up and go out like I have done before. And he didn't realize that the Holy Spirit, or that the Spirit had departed from him. And as a result, he was captured. His eyes were gouged out. And he was put into the temple there of the Philistines to provide support for them. And he died there, destroying that temple. God allowed him to do that. But, you know, it is very different in the Old Testament from the New. In the New Testament, what do we have? All right. One of the words we use is indwelling. Beginning at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon those believers in the early church there in Jerusalem, and then upon various groups. But gradually, you know, there were no more Pentecost-type experiences. It simply came that when you received Christ, you were born again, the Spirit of God came to live inside of you and stayed there. So the same Spirit that gave Samson such power, the same Spirit that worked great miraculous things through David and through Elijah and all these different men of God is present in our lives today. He's there today. But now, what Jesus is coming to in this passage that we've just read is that the time is coming when He's going to be leaving them. He's preparing them for the fact that He's going back to heaven. And of course, I mean, if you think about this. They've been with Jesus now for 3 years. They've been following Him. They've been living right in His presence. They've been, you know, sleeping beside Him, sharing His meals. They've been walking along the dusty roads of Galilee and Judea. And, you know, they have been with Him. They've watched miracles and they've seen all these amazing things. And now suddenly He's talking about leaving them, going away from them. You know, Thomas said back in chapter 14, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And they were upset. They were concerned. They were, you know, they were looking at this thing, and this was very upsetting to them. And what Jesus is trying to say to them, and they probably didn't understand it then, but they did later, is that it was better for them that He went away. You know, if Jesus were here today, well, obviously, I mean, we could have, you know, we could have His own channel on cable or satellite or whatever. You know, he could be on television and people could see Him, but you know, only a limited number of people could be in His presence, could could be with him, visit with him, talk personally to him. He said, it's better for you. It is more expedient, verse 7. It is expedient. That means it is better for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Counselor, will not come. The word for Comforter here is Paraclete. And it has the idea, para is a preposition which basically means to place alongside. So it's the one who comes alongside of us to counsel us and to encourage us and to comfort us. Well, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. So the Holy Spirit is here because the Lord Jesus has left us. He's not here physically. He's certainly here through the Spirit, but he is seated today at the right hand of the Father in glory, the Bible tells us. So, well, let's think about what the Holy Spirit does. Somebody look at this passage and just give me one thing. Something that the Holy Spirit does among non-Christians. What does the Holy Spirit do among non-Christians? Okay. Convicts. Anything else? And he gives us here, notice verse 8 and following. When he is come, he will reprove the world. Okay? And when we say that, what that means is that the Holy Spirit is the one who comes and shows a lost world, lost people, the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done. Of what he has done on the cross for them. And so it says, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And then he gives us a little more explanation of sin because they believe not on me. So, you know, the first thing that needs to happen for a lost person is they need to understand that they are lost and they are in sin, that their sin is condemning them. It's causing them to be condemned and kept from experiencing the life of God and eternal life. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. You know, Jesus was the perfect standard of righteousness. When he was here, you could look at him and he was, you know, the epitome of righteousness. Now he's gone. What do we have? I mean, we're going to look at Billy Graham. We're going to look at Susie. We're going to look at Ann. Is that the epitome of righteousness? Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to interpret and helps us to see what true righteousness is since the Lord Jesus is gone. And then he reproves or convinces of judgment, verse 11, because the prince of this world is judged. So, you know, he is at work and... You know, Christ has won the victory over the enemy. The devil has been defeated at the cross. The prince of this world is judged. That's the devil himself. So what does the Holy Spirit do among Christians? How does the Holy Spirit work in the lives of Christians? All right. He helps us to know what the truth is. You know, we see it right here in this passage. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will never mislead you. He will never take you astray. He will help you to understand what is right. You know, think about it. We have all these people who've written all these books and made documentaries and television shows about how that the Bible is incomplete, that they've left books out of the Bible. They have, you know, they've done all these things according to these people that don't give us the whole story. And so as a result, you know, supposedly Jesus was married. You know, you've got all these stories that are out there. And people listen to this stuff. People watch this stuff. And they hear it, and it begins to influence the way they think. Well, the Holy Spirit is the one who came to those that first generation of believers. And He helped them to remember what Jesus had said. You know, because otherwise, think about it. When Matthew sat down and wrote out his gospel, it's quite a lengthy book. You know, it's quite a lot of stuff. How did he remember all, you know, how did he remember the Sermon on the Mount? You know, Matthew 5 through 7, that's a lengthy message that Jesus gave. How did, you know, they didn't have a tape recorder back then. They didn't have, you know, I don't think they had somebody sitting there taking shorthand. I don't know. How did he remember that? Well, I believe it was through the Holy Spirit coming to him, helping him to remember those things, giving him what Jesus had said and what Jesus had done. So when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. And I think that's still a work of the Spirit today. You know, the truth is here, right here in the book. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to redo or undo or fix anything here. We just have to learn to understand it and rightly divide the word of truth. But the Holy Spirit, that's His role. He wrote this book. He authored this book through the lives of a lot of different folks over the years that the Bible was being written. Well, it says, He will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. You know, there are some churches where they really elevate the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's role, and they magnify the Holy Spirit. And perhaps we go too far the other direction. I think sometimes we de-emphasize the Holy Spirit too much. But, folks, the Holy Spirit is not here to bear witness about the Holy Spirit. He's here to bear witness of Christ. He's here to point people to Jesus. Anything in any church that isn't pointing people to Christ, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not the Spirit of God. He will speak not of Himself. He shall not speak of Himself. Okay? So there's a pretty good indicator for us as we hear things. I remember talking to a lady one time, and I asked her where she attended church. This was back when I was in seminary. And she said, "Oh, well, I go to a Spirit-filled church." And she kind of got her nose up. I mean, maybe she didn't, but that's the way I interpreted it. That's the way I took it, was that I attend a Spirit-filled church. And obviously, you don't. Well, folks, listen. The Holy Spirit is not here to draw men and women and young people to the Holy Spirit. He's here to draw people to Christ. And He's here to point us to Jesus. And anything that doesn't do that is misguided and it's wrong. So we need to be careful about that because the Holy Spirit is God. You know, I mean, He is fully God. And so... All right. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You know, He gave, right here in these pages, He gave things that are going to happen. He gave various people who were prophets during the time of the New Testament. He gave them information about what was going to happen, what was going to come. And, you know, He is still able to do that today. I don't believe He does it on quite the same level or in the same way that He did it back then. But He can still speak and still work. Well, notice verse 14. This comes to the heart of it. He shall glorify Me. That is, the Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. Not the other way around. The Holy Spirit is always glorifying the Lord Jesus. For He shall receive of Mine, that what is Mine, and shall show it unto you. So He's going to take what is Christ, the teachings of Christ, the work of Christ. And He is going to bring that to us and help us to understand it, help us to relate our lives to it, and to be strengthened by it. He's going to declare those things to us. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit is constantly revealing truth, revealing who God is and what He is like. So let's think about this then. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a member of the Godhead. And we cannot see Him. We cannot reach out and touch Him. But we can know that He is present or that He is at work. And first off, we know that the Bible says, Romans 8 tells us, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. He is not of His. So if you have a relationship with Christ, you have the Spirit of God within you, present, working. You're going to sense that. You're going to know that. There's going to be times when you're going to hear something. And something, you know, kind of the hair's going to stand up on the back of your neck and you're going, wait a second, that doesn't sound right. And it very well could be that, you know, when we hear something that is false, that the Holy Spirit of God is going to help us to understand that that's not true. That's not truth. That's not biblical. Well, He is felt in our lives. And I think a lot of this is by experience. You come to learn when the Holy Spirit is speaking, and you learn by experience what that's like. Well, so He is at work, and you know, I think one of the things that the Spirit does is He helps us to relate to one another. You know, we're very different. We're just different. We do things differently. We look at life differently. We're different. And it's not bad, but it's just part of life. But the Holy Spirit helps us as a body of believers to come together and to somehow fit together and to work together. You know, to mesh our lives together. And He heals the broken parts of our relationships. You know, He helps us with, you know, dealing with people. I think one of the keys to getting along with people is praying that God will give you that. He will help you with that. That the Holy Spirit will be absolutely at work there. And at times you will feel Him comforting your heart, comforting you in times of sorrow or of loneliness or of heartache or trouble. You will sense His presence. Sometimes you will sense Him guiding you, directing you. You'll get a sense as you're doing something to stop that and go do something else, or to go and do something. Well, the Holy Spirit is certainly able, and we need that. We need that guidance. We need that help. You know, since He is God, He obviously knows both what we need and what the needs around us are. So the Spirit of God is constantly at work. You know, we could talk a lot about filling of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit, and the seal of the Spirit and various things. But I just want to remind you tonight, the Holy Spirit is there. He is real. And we need His presence. We need His power. We need His help. We cannot do what we are tasked to do, what the Lord tells us that we should do, without the Holy Spirit's presence. And so, just because you're a Baptist doesn't mean that we don't believe in the Holy Spirit. We absolutely do. And we know, we have to know that without Him, we can't live this life. And so don't be intimidated by, you know, some folks who may want to present their version of Christianity is superior to yours. Don't be intimidated by that, because one of the things that I don't hear this quoted too much from those folks, but Acts 1:8 says, "But when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth." He didn't say in Acts 1:8, "When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall fall down and roll around the floor and you shall speak with unknown tongues and you shall, you know, have all these strange experiences." I mean, God can do what He wants to do, but He did not say that. He said, "You shall be my witnesses." So, you know, I think that's important. I think we need to keep that in mind. All right. Any thoughts on the Holy Spirit before we wrap up this part of the service? Okay. Well, let's take a moment and let's pray together. And let's especially remember Leisha, Clinton, their family. Kind of a tough time for them and the uncertainty of not knowing what's going on. Let's continue to pray for Janie's family and for Dwayne's family. Pray for our church body. You know, we've got a lot of needs. We need the Holy Spirit to move and work in our. Okay. Yeah, I saw that. All right. So the Maynard family. Okay. All right. Well, let's just take a moment. Well. All right. Well, let's take a moment. Let's just bow and just lift up those things that are on your heart tonight. Maybe there's a burden or a concern or a fear or a worry or something that's on your heart. Just take that to the Lord right now. And if there is nothing, then you lift up these needs that we've mentioned.